I'm glad y'all have those rails up there for older people like me.
We're certainly glad that y'all are here this evening. My wife and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I guess I better turn this on. But anyway, when Scott called me last month, I was glad to be able to accept the invitation. And so I pray that the things that I have to say are worthwhile. And I try to stay within the bounds of God's Word so that we can understand those things that God has said for us to do. The song that we just sung tonight is a song that is really the title of my lesson tonight, Because He Lives. You know, over the past few years, I spent some time, I'm not a good song singer. My voice is not good, but I do love to hear people sing, and I like to go back and study the history of some of the songs that we sing and how they came about, and it makes them more meaningful to me, and I hope they will be to you, because when I preached a sermon here a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, I preached a sermon on Why Not Tonight, and of course, many of the songs, when they're written, if you look at them, they give you a sermon outline, so preachers sometimes use them, and that's what I did that night, that's what I'm doing tonight. Because He Lives. Now, of course, the number that I have on my overhead here is not your number because you have a new songbook. But the songbook we use, Hymns of Worship by Brother R.J. Stevens, is the one we had. Because He Lives. You know, this song, if you were thinking about it as you sang, and the Bible teaches us, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, that we're to sing with the Spirit and with the understanding. Just as we pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. We don't just give lip service to God. We think about what we're saying, or we should. And so we voice those things in our prayers to God. And the same way with our songs. And so the song, you just got through singing. The song voices our conviction that our hope of eternal life is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Back in John, the 14th chapter, verse 19, when Jesus Christ was on the earth and he was talking to his disciples, the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was ready to be crucified, he had his disciples together, and John chapter 14 through 16, Jesus conveys to them the fact that he was getting ready to leave. But when he left, he was going to send a comforter. But among those things that he said to his disciples was, I live, and therefore you live. They didn't understand at that time, just as many people today don't understand, that Jesus knew that even though he was going to have to die, he was not going to stay in the grave. And he still lives. He lives in our hearts. And if we trust him, we let him to continue to live in our lives. And Paul writes in Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 14, if you'll read with me there, where he says to us there, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, God's will, the Father's will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of one of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And so if he lives in us, then we're going to continue to live also in him in this life. And when this life is over, we're going to live with him for eternity. The song, Because He Lived, was written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. You may know them because they are popular in gospel singing. And this song was written after the birth of their third son, after their, in their married life, and in a time of turmoil. They had been worrying about things, but they wrote this song. But anyway, just a little bit of history of how this song came to be. See, the Gaithers, well known for gospel singing, if you turn on gospel music and you hear any of it, you'll hear a lot of time Bill and Gloria Gaither. Their concerts, of course, fill many of the places where they're advertised, they're getting together and people come to hear them sing. And so Bill, Dan, and Marianne, they were all brothers and sisters. They sang in area churches for a while before Bill met his future wife, Gloria. And so they became fellow school teachers in Alexandria, Indiana, together. And of course they also loved singing. And so they fell in love. They were married in 1962 and both continued teaching in Alexandria. But they, at that time, went around the area singing to various churches that would invite them there to sing with them. And so their first child, Susanna, was born in 1964. And in 1967, they gave up teaching altogether and went into gospel music industry. They began to promote gospel music and made many things, or many songs. They formed the Gaither Music Company, and they've written over 600 different gospel songs, and the one that you just sang tonight is one of them, and there are others maybe that we hear from time to time that have some beautiful thoughts in them. Bill was named one time the Gospel Music Association Songwriter of the Year, in fact, six different times during his career. Then the second daughter came along in 1969. Her name was Amy. And then these years, of course, if some of us older people understand, this was a time of turmoil. In the 1969, it was a time that the America was getting into the war with Vietnam, and you had all the students in America, and a lot of these liberal colleges were stirring up, the professors were stirring up their students, and they were revolting against the government, and you have the civil rights movement going on at that time, the Vietnam War. You have the hippies. Some of us older people remember those. The parental rebellion, in other words, they don't trust anybody over 30 years of age. The designer drugs came out, LSD and so forth, and people were getting all kind of situational problems with that. And of course, it's during this time that Bill and Gloria are continuing to sing, but they're getting a little bit discouraged. They felt it wasn't a good time to raise children in such an unstable environment. But guess what? Gloria gets pregnant again. And so, but they were getting depressed. Spiritually, they were kind of getting down, and she becomes pregnant with a third child. And so she doesn't know whether she really wants to have this child or not, but they don't want to abort the child. And so two incidents happen that cause a change of thought in their minds. One day Gloria was lay on a couch or reclining on a couch, and she came across a picture that she's looking at of an old farmer. He had hands all wrinkled, gnarled, because working in the fields. And she sees this farmer with these wrinkled hands. All around, everything seems desolate. But here he is holding in his hand a clump of black dirt. And in the middle of that dirt was a plant. A green plant was growing. And so it was suggesting the fact that there was readiness to place life even in the most barren places. Then, that winter, they had paved the parking lot to the church where they were working at. And in the springtime, the black pavement Gloria is there and she's pondering about what's going to happen if they have this third child. And her daddy calls her outside. Here's this black pavement. And he takes it over and points out a little spot there, a little crack in the pavement, a blade of grass that's coming up. Green grass in the middle of that pavement. And that kind of inspired Gloria, and she told her husband about it. And so here, life can grow even at the most desolate places, the most desolate times. And so the third child was born, Benjamin, in 1970. These events is what inspired them to write this song, because he lives, because they realize something, and we ought to realize that too, that life always wins in the end. You see it over and over again. I've seen pictures of places where you say, well, it's impossible for life to be there. And yet there is. Where I preach at Etna, we have a parking lot and there's cracks all over it. And up in those little cracks, grass is growing. Let's know that you just cannot stop life from abounding. And so this is what caused them to think about this song. And so even though the world was unstable, that gave them the courage to get married, to raise a family, and to raise their children. See, we're going to have to realize that a stable life in this world is never going to happen. This world is always shaking and quivering and changing. So we have to live in a world that's shaking and crumbling and uncertain. And yet, in the midst of that, with faith, life can continue. See, Jesus Christ was born in that kind of world. He was born in a time of instability. He was born at a time when Rome ruled the world. He was born of poor parents. He was born in a stable. But God had seen it was time. Because God had planned, as I said, mentioned this morning, God had started to plan even before he created all the world. That if man chose to sin, there was going to be a process by which man could be brought back into fellowship with God. And so in Galatians chapter 4, we read that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, that he might redeem people from the curse. That's the kind of life that Jesus came into. He lived and he died in a world that was unstable. We worry about our world today. We worry about what's going to happen to our country. Well, I don't know. But I know that God's still in control of it. But it's unstable. Because we just are not sure of what's going to happen next. But nevertheless, this is the kind of environment in which Jesus was born. This is where he says, because I live, you can live also. See, death didn't stop Jesus. They put him on a cross. They put him in a tomb. They sealed that tomb. They said, we're going to keep anybody from stealing the body. But still the third day, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and others came and they find an empty tomb. They tie in angels, say, hey, he's risen. He's not here. And then Jesus appears to Mary, tells her to go in and tell the disciples that I'm alive. And so Jesus, in the most desolate times, was alive. Because he lives, we can live also. And he's raised, and that's what gives us hope. And that's why I think about this song so often, because he lives. Because Jesus lives, we're going to live also. Here's what he told his disciples. Because I live, you will live also. Maybe not in this world, but you'll live. You'll live a life eternity of eternity with God in a place called heaven. So because He lives, we live. Now, this is what caused Gloria and Bill to write this song that we sung tonight and often sing, to give birth to the song that we're singing today. It was copyrighted 1971, and it's been widely used. It can be found in a lot of song books. And so the song inspires us to face the uncertain future without fear. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. When my wife and I start home, I don't know whether we'll make it or not. But I know that if I stay prepared to meet Him, that regardless of what happens in this life, I live on through the eternity with the Lord. Look at the words of the song. In verse number 1, we have the empty tomb, which confirms the fact that Jesus still lives. See, Jesus' advent into the world was God's plan. In Romans, the 4th chapter there, the apostle, that he wrote to the Roman brethren, he was giving them the encouragement that Jesus Christ was their justification. And so we read there in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse number 24. But also for us, it was written, not for His sake alone, that it was imputed to Him, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And then the passage I read this morning in chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, look at that first verse of that song that you have in your songbook. Because it declares to us the faith we ought to have. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave there is to prove my Savior lives. You see, the plan that God had was accomplished when Jesus Christ paid the price. That's why Paul told them in the 1 Corinthians letter in chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, that this was the very foundation of our faith, that Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, and was resurrected again. Notice what Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 15. I know you're familiar with it, but look at it again. It said, moreover, brethren, I, in declaring to you the gospel which I preach to you, unless you have believed it in vain, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for us as according to the scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Because He lives, we shall live also, because Jesus paid the price that we couldn't pay. He paid for our sins with a blood sacrifice. The innocent blood of the Son of God dying on our behalf. And that's why in His resurrection we can celebrate and say, because He lives. They could not kill Him. They tried. Oh, they put His physical body to death, but they didn't kill Him because He lived on and came back the third day from the crucifixion, which was the first day of the week. He came to them and said, look at my body. Put your hands in the nail prints. And then Thomas, who had doubted up to that moment of time, could say, my Lord and my God. So the empty grave still proves that Jesus Christ lived. When the Apostle Paul was on his first missionary journey in Acts 13, notice what he writes, or he speaks in the sermon that's recorded by Luke, that Jesus Christ, that Paul was speaking at that time. I'm just reading in verses 30 through 34 of the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, where he says there, beginning in verse number 30, I'm getting the wrong chapter there, but where it says, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare unto you the glad tidings, the promise, which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as also is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. Now I stumble a little bit in my reading now at night because my eyes don't do as well as they used to. But anyway, the point is, this first verse of this song tells us, because Jesus lives, we will live also. It proves that he was truly the Son of God. It's a historical fact. People tried to deny it. People at the beginning there, the people, as I said, they tried to guard the tomb. The enemies did, but they couldn't. The apostles didn't believe it at the time that he was going to be resurrected, but he did. But later on, they died for the faith. They were willing to sacrifice their lives because they now believed in the one that died for them. Unbelievers have failed to give any plausible explanation for it, and we could do that, but we want to go on through the time tonight and just study these things briefly, hit the high points of what I want to do. Why? Because Jesus lived. They cannot disprove that, regardless of what they try to do. Now look at I know you don't have the second verse in this songbook, but they did write a second verse that was excluded from this songbook, but it's in the one we use where I preach. But anyway, here's the second verse. This is talking about the child that was born. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy it gives, but greater still the calm assurance a child can face uncertain days because he lives. You see, the empty tomb gives assurance with life uncertainties that, yes, man can still live. See, children born into our families, they become blessings to us. And the quiver, the blessings a man has a quiver full of them, Psalms 127. But they talk about it, that yes, they grow, they have to face the uncertainties of life. But if you instill in them when they're young, that faith that they need to have in Jesus Christ and believe in God the Father, then they can handle the things of this life. They can survive it. But no matter what happens, they can live with that calm assurance that Jesus Christ lives, and because he lives, they can live also. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we suffer many persecutions. All that are ungodly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But because of that, we can still trust in the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, you can read verses 19 to 21, chapter 5 and verse 13. I know, John, you over and over again, the book of 1 John is filled with I know the certainty. And John certainly believed in Jesus Christ. We have the promises that God made, that God's promises are sure and steadfast. They'll never fail. Because why? Jesus has proven that he lives, and so will we, and God's promises are true because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now look at verse 3, just briefly. The third verse of the song says, and then one day, I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and know he reigns. You see, the empty grave becomes a basis of our hope for eternity. We all one day are going to cross over the river of death, every one of us. Some younger and some older when they pass away, but it'll happen to all of us one day unless the Lord returns first. So we have to look at that. But just because one dies does not mean that's the end. I remember a man on his deathbed said, "Don't worry about me. I'll see you on the other side." He said, "You don't have to mourn my passing, because I know that my Redeemer lives." He is giving hope to his family. He knew, because he truly believed in Jesus Christ. See, the suffering of this life is over when we die. But Christians, it's a victory. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, grave, where is your sting? Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." Yes, we're going to be placed in a grave, but we won't stay there, because Jesus returns. He's going to call us all out of the grave, both rich, the poor, the male, female, young, old. They'll all be raised together to meet him in the air. So now look at the chorus of the song. And our sermon will be over just a moment here. The chorus of the song says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." See, because Christ lives, we don't have to fear the future. That's what makes life worth living. Not because of all the things we have to go through in life here, but the thing that makes it worthwhile is because we have a life of abundance in Jesus Christ, as he promised in John 10:10, and after this life is over, a much better life. Because he lives, we'll live also. And that's what Paul dealt with in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. When people doubt the resurrection of Jesus, their own resurrection, they're going to doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us there that if that was the case, of all men, we'd be the most pitiable. And so, think about that tonight as we close this lesson. I hope the thoughts have been good to you. But think about this thing, because to me this song has meant a lot ever since it came out. Because he lives. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, get the fact that because Jesus Christ lives, he said, you will live also. But that is conditional if. Conditioned upon the fact that you have to make sure that you have made yourself ready to meet the Lord. That you live your life every day as if it were the last day. Because one day it will be. And so, when you think about it, if you're here tonight and you haven't yet obeyed the gospel, you're out of Christ, you're lost. You need to be saved. And the only way you can do that is come and obey the gospel, because only in Jesus Christ can you have that life and make life worth living here. Well, if you sing this song tonight, if there's anything we can do to help you, we invite you to come. Let the others stand. We want to sing.